what I believe that Isaiah was showing to us, rather than a linear prophecy where we go through a time of decline, suffering, and death, and then into a period of peace, healing, and life, I believe that Isaiah and many other prophets were saying that we are standing on the precipice, at the crossroads of this key moment in time, and we are looking into our future at all of the possibilities, this vertical array, vertical time, many, many, many ribbons of possibilities that run the gamut from death, suffering, and decline to peace, healing, and life. All of them are possible. Rather than having to experience one before the other, I believe that we're being asked to choose which of those we would like to live in our lives. Isaiah takes us one step further. He actually begins to show us how. This is the beauty of the Isaiah scroll and the Isaiah effect. Among Dead Sea Scroll scholars, of the many good things that have come from their task of assembling this information and bringing it to us today, a new language translation technique has evolved called the Peshar technique. It simply is the Hebrew word for significance. What the Peshar technique says is that we may read a word in its original language and that that one word may have multiple meanings. Sometimes the general meanings become very specific. And what I mean by that is this. I'll give you an example. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, often there are references to the wicked. And if we do not know what the wicked means, we assume it means the wicked of the earth. From that perspective, then, when the scrolls are talking about the wicked, the reader believes that they are speaking to all of the evil people of the earth and applies the meaning in that respect. However, through the scrolls, they are very specific that the wicked is a reference to a single person, someone who they call the wicked priest. The wicked priest that came into the communities and essentially said, you don't need churches. You may worship anywhere. You don't need an intermediary between you and your Creator. You may speak with your Creator directly. That was considered heresy at the time. So this man was called the wicked priest, and the general of all wickedness becomes very specific for one person. So if we understand that, then those texts begin to take on a new meaning. With that in mind, let's go into Isaiah's message. Isaiah left us very key messages, and I'll say to you now, what we're about to do is just the tip of the iceberg. This is one little piece of one portion of a text, of a much broader text that is so complete, and I believe has so much more. Isaiah left it for us today. I believe this is a key portion of what Isaiah was saying to us. Following what is known as the apocalypse of Isaiah, where he saw into our future all the possibilities, he begins to tell us of a way to transcend those possibilities. He begins talking about a mountain. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all people, the web that is woven over all nations. What is Isaiah's mountain? I'd like to find this mountain, the mountain that brings this peace and this healing. He goes on to talk about the mountain as being a shelter from the elements and from the storms that we could expect in our time and history. What is this mountain that he's talking about? Well, in the outward translation, which is known as the Peshat translation of mountain, scholars historically have noted that the mountain is a location or a place. And they're looking for this mountain. They believe that they find this place, that they've found shelter and refuge from the tribulations of our time. The Peshar translation of mountain, however, says something very different. The Peshar translation of mountain says that the mountain, and we go back into the Hebrew text, mountain is Zion, with a capital Z, symbol of the heavenly Jerusalem. So we're stripping away layers of meaning here. The mountain now has become a specific place, Zion, which is further defined as a symbol of the heavenly Jerusalem. Well, that doesn't do us much good right now because it's a heavenly place. We're still looking for something we can use in our lives. Let's strip away another layer of meaning and go back even deeper into the richness of this language. In Hebrew, the actual word Jerusalem becomes the word Yerushalayim, and this word translated into the meaning of today translates to the vision of peace. The vision of peace. So now Isaiah's mountain has moved from becoming a physical location to a quality of consciousness that we may hold individually or collectively in our lives. Let's take this translation and plug it back into the original text now. Retranslated, Isaiah was saying the vision of peace will provide for all peoples. He's saying the vision of peace provides a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in distress, shelter from the rain, shade from the heat. This is very interesting. He's saying that a form of consciousness provides this kind of shelter. Just a little aside, new research is being conducted now, and it's happened over the last 3 or 4 years. Quantum science is finding direct relationships between a specific quality of human emotion that we would call peace, or the lack of peace, and the weather patterns in our world, high pressure systems or low pressure systems. We know that emotion is magnetic, and we know that barometric pressure responds to magnetic fields. Perhaps we're beginning to see the relationship and gain the insight that so many ancients have shared with us. Maybe the weather patterns are more than just something happening around us. Could they possibly be mirrors of something that's happening within us? Well, we'll explore this further in just a moment. So it is this vision of peace that brings shelter from the rain, shade from the heat. It's the vision of peace that destroys the veil that veils all people, the darkness that covers people, the web that is worn over all nations. Isn't that interesting? That Isaiah was sharing with us a quality of consciousness through a mode of language that we're just beginning to recognize today. Another aspect of the Dead Sea Scrolls, this is not from the Isaiah text, this is from another scroll, references this ancient key of peace. And I find this very interesting because they say that, and this again is the Essenes, seek peace in all that lives, in all that you do, in every word that you speak, because peace is the key to all knowledge, to all mystery, and to all life. It's interesting. They didn't say love is that key, or compassion, or understanding, or forgiveness. While each of those are important, peace must be present so that we may have love and compassion and forgiveness and understanding. And I find it particularly interesting that when the Essenes, upon greeting or departing from one another, when they would leave, instead of saying goodbye, take care, or take it easy, what they would say is peace be with you. Isaiah's message is saying two things to us. First, he is reminding us in the only language that he knows that we have the ability through prophecy, or what we call remote viewing, to glimpse future consequences of the choices that we make each moment in our lives. In each moment, we either affirm or deny life in our bodies through the quality of breath that we take, through the way that we nurture our bodies, the way that we move our bodies in this earth, the way that we address one another in conversation. Each of those is a choice, and within that choice, we have either affirmed or denied life in that moment. Powerful to think of it in that respect. So he reminds us first that we can see the future consequences of our choices, and number two, he says that we embody the power to choose which of the futures we glimpsed. We have the ability to choose which future we live.
This concludes Session 1 of The Isaiah Effect with Greg Braden. Our program continues with Session 2.